We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
And what about that action, boss?
Take him out! This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
It is the Morning Roast. Bonte Hill is out, although he did call in and gave us a week's worth of takes in a three-minute phone call, which was fantastic. And then, unfortunately, his phone connection had cut out. And he still wanted to go. He could have gone for another 3 minutes, I guarantee that, and even more. But in this final hour, Shasky, going into the break, you were asked a question by Anthony in Napa, and we got a couple of callers on hold who want to talk about the LA-SF rivalry.
Yeah.
Austin in Redwood City actually wants to comment on Jimmy G to the Rams. I mean, you threw that. That was a 12-6 curveball that you threw. I had no idea that you were Jimmy G to the Rams. I didn't even know what to think. So that's all coming up in this final hour, but you wanted to answer a question from Anthony in Napa talking about just the disparity with these SF teams and the LA teams and the way that they build their rosters, going to the NFL, going to baseball, seeing what happened as the Giants lose their eighth straight against the Dodgers after 2 4-game series. So what do you got here, Chaz?
So I think both LA teams do a great job of identifying talent and developing that talent. Now, the Dodgers go about it different than the Rams. The Rams had Aaron Donald, a former first-round pick, and had Todd Gurley, a former first-round pick, and had Jared Goff, the number one overall pick. And then McVay came in, and he got the best out of those guys. As time went on, the Rams found good talent like Cooper Kupp, like Cam Akers now, in middle rounds. Okay, and develop those guys. And Cooper Kupp's probably the best representation of that.
Yes.
This is a guy, mid-round pick, developed into a superstar. He's a superstar, like in terms of the impact you're getting from that player.
Third rounder.
Absolutely. Todd Gurley and Jared Goff, they were very bold to move off of both of them when they did. They squeezed the lemon, got the most out of them, moved off them. Then what they did with their first round draft picks was be bold and trade those away and go get guys that were proven commodities. Flipping Goff in a first-rounder to go get Matthew Stafford. Before that, flipping multiple first-round picks to get Jalen Ramsey, right? And so then what that's done is made them a desirable destination to free agents. Bobby Wagner shows up this year. Allen Robinson. We know all the list of guys that have wanted to go play there. They trade for Von Miller last year toward the end of the year. So they view draft picks in two ways. One, if it can get me somebody great, like that's their prospect, it can get somebody great right now, I'll surrender that. And then if I can identify random guys and build those guys up, that will be the bulk of the rest of my roster. And if I hit on a couple of them, like I did with Cooper Kupp, game changers.
Right.
Game changers for them. So they've built their team with a bunch of stars, but they've also done a really good job being discerning in the draft. Dodgers, same thing. They develop and draft their own, but they've been bold and traded prospects to go get better players. And then that's made it enticing to bring in a Freddie Freeman in free agency. Mm-hmm. They allowed guys to move on. The way Jared Goff, hey, we're going to trade you away, but we're going to bring in Matt Stafford and we'll attach and staple a first-round pick to it. They let Seager go, but they already had Trey Turner waiting in the wings because they made a shrewd trade to get rid of prospects and bring guys in. So they had replacements. So they both have done it both ways, being bold via the trades and then also bringing in stars and then developing their own.
Well, so the difference is that the Dodgers, they did win that World Series back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And the Rams, obviously, what happened with the Super Bowl. So the Rams took a chance, right? They took a chance because it's a gamble. Because really, bold. The reason why we are not as outraged by what the Rams are doing, because I think if the 49ers were in a situation where, you know, it just didn't look like they were on any sort of trajectory, it kind of looked like they were just flatlining, just, you know, going about their business, trying to find a head coach, trying to find a quarterback. But they've built their team, and they have signed these guys to extensions and built their team from within.
Yes.
Maybe not signing big free agents, but you did sign Charvarius Ward to a 3-year, $40 million deal, who should make your team better, yeah. Right? On the other side, you got Emmanuel Moseley. But the difference is, and the reason why we're so angry about the Giants, yeah, and them not spending the money, is because it feels like the Rams, they did win a Super Bowl, so it worked, but they have their team set up for maybe the next 2-3 years outside of Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford. They don't have anybody under contract. Like the Niners, they have premium players signed at least until 2026.
They are your classic team building structure,
right,
where we're going to stay with the draft. We're going to be very shrewd in what we trade away.
Yeah.
And we're going to identify our own, develop our own, pay our own, and keep them in a Niner uniform.
Which normally works. Which normally can
well,
work.
Well, that's the Pittsburgh Steeler way.
Right.
Right? We're going to pick a, we're going to draft our own guys. We're not going to spend in free agency. Every now and then, if we think you're asking for too much, Mike Wallace, you can just go. Text free agency. It's all good. But we'll make under the radar moves in free agency, but they're going to develop their own and sign their own.
So it's the classic case, though, of, hey, would you rather win that one Super Bowl and just
give up everything
and not make the playoffs for the next 10 years? Or would you make the playoffs consistently for the next 10 years without knowing whether you win a Super Bowl or not? I mean, if you just said, oh yeah, would you rather make the playoffs for the next 10 years without winning a Super Bowl? Obviously you'd want to win that Super Bowl, but the whole point of the 10 seasons in the playoffs is that hope that you can win a Super Bowl because you're there.
I hate the cross-sport analogies,
but it's so different in baseball.
Would you rather be the Toronto Raptors
And
swing big for Kawhi, knowing that it's only going to be a one and done? Or would you rather be where the Boston Celtics are today, where you feel like you're going to be in the mix, even though there's no guarantees for the next 5 to 10 years? Right? Like that's kind of where we're going with this.
Right.
Now, there's no guarantee you win in either. I mean, it could have easily happened that Philly beat the Toronto Raptors in that playoff series, and that shot doesn't go down by Kawhi, and let's say Philadelphia ends up winning that, but they cashed in. And so I look at the Matt Stafford trade. That's a game changer for the Rams. They won in year one. They won that trade unequivocally.
Instantly.
And what it did for that organization trying to set its feet back in L.A. to win a championship immediately like that, with all the Lakers winning one recently, with the Dodgers winning one recently, it was massive for their bottom line. But for their team, it also tells the rest of the roster, we're trying to win now. So if I'm Allen Robinson, a guy who's played for the Bears on loser teams for the last couple of years, it's like, yeah, I want to win. I'm going there. Bobby Wagner, oh, Seattle, you want to move off me? I'm going to go in division to a team where I feel like I can win. I'm going to the Rams.
Man, Allen Robinson's one of those names where you kind of forget that he got signed to the Rams this offseason. I mean, this dude's played with, Blake Bortles and Nick Foles for his career?
I know.
Well, Justin Fields?
I think to some level,
it's Trubisky.
I respect the hell out of the way the Rams operate. They operate the way Joe Lacob does. Every year I'm not winning it, I feel like I lost something. I'm going to try to win it all every year. That's a fun pressure. Like, Warrior fans can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
Every game, every year, if you don't win the championship, nothing means anything. Like, I feel that. Whereas I feel like the Niners, and I think everybody in that building wants to win the Super Bowl, and that's the big pressure. But they're also like, hey, if we don't win it this year, we still got the next 3 or 4 years that we can go back in this. So I, from a team building aspect, as a GM, as a front office, I understand the way the Niners are operating. I appreciate the way the Niners operate. Do I wish they would be a little more bold here and there? Well, they tried to, and they got stung when they went out and got D Ford. You know, they traded a second rounder and gave him a bunch of money, and they tried, and unfortunately his body couldn't keep up.
Well, you did just trade two picks in order to get Trey Lance.
And they did it for Jimmy G.
Yes.
So I think that we obsess about, oh, the Niners don't make bold moves. No, they do. They're just different in how those moves land, I feel like.
Man, it'd be interesting to see if the Rams can continue to develop talent, because if they do, like Cooper Kupp, and you manage to make a third rounder back in 2017, and that's just the star wide receiver
probably
going to
go to the Hall of Fame.
It's crazy.
It's just crazy to say, but you look at his numbers, and then you just, you know, play it out. If he can stay with Stafford, whew.
Let's get to Austin in Redwood City, who's been waiting patiently on hold.
Cooper Kupp.
Jimmy, what? Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp and calamari.
They can't stop Cooper Kupp.
Shout out to Lo Neal. Austin in Redwood City wants to weigh in on your question, because you asked me. I mean, if Stafford with his elbow pain, and you know what? I'm going to reread that on the other side of this call, but Jimmy Garoppolo on the Rams, would that scare you? Austin in Redwood City, what's going on?
What's up, man? Yes, that will scare me if he goes there. Look, he's got receivers over there that can run routes and gain separation. Over here in the Bay Area, we don't got that. And he never had that when he was playing with us. So I feel like Jimmy never had a fair shot at that. Every time Jimmy go out there, he get injured because our receivers can't gain separation. And that leads to our offensive line getting injured. And you got to look at it, too. Tom Brady, he couldn't play with the receiving core he had. It looked like he was on his downfall. All of a sudden, he goes to Tampa Bay. It looked like he got 2 years younger. Now we got a Super Bowl and he got Julio now. But that's all I got. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Rams rolled the dice and made a big, bold move, and it totally worked out. And I got to give them all the respect in the world for it. And there was so much pressure. If they lose to the Niners last year, think of how big you allowed the Niners into the playoffs by losing at home week 18. You made this huge, bold trade to go get Matt Stafford. The Niners could have made that move. They didn't.
Yeah.
And they beat you. Instead, it's, and he doesn't throw that pick to Tart. You know, instead,
right.
It's all of these other narrative, and it's crazy how thin the margin is from winning and losing, and how the narrative on Stafford and that trade and how bold they were, it's all viewed differently.
Going back to your Raptors, your Raptors' opinion with Kawhi Leonard and them going all out.
Move.
It was a very bold move, but, you know, Clay and KD didn't get hurt. Who knows what would have happened?
If he doesn't hit that shot and Philly ends up beating him. You know, like, you could do the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Hey, if Cody Ross doesn't hit three home runs in one game, you know what I mean? Like, we could do that till we're blue in the face. The margin for winning is just so thin. And I don't think people realize, like, just putting together a contender is a difficult task all in itself.
So the reason that we brought up the Jimmy to the Rams thing is because Sean McVay basically said that what the pain that Stafford is feeling in this right elbow, an elbow injury that he had last year, ended up getting an injection for it this offseason, said that it's abnormal for a quarterback and that they're trying to do everything in their power during practice to limit and operate in as little pain as possible. So I'm wondering how they're doing that. He's not working with the team in camp right now. I don't know what's going to go on with the Rams this year. It's just the fact that they won a Super Bowl, man, and how they built their team, it's just so unconventional, you know? And the fact that they did that, I don't know if teams are going to change the way that they do business and try to copy what the Rams are doing, because I don't know if you could do that. Well, I don't know if you could emulate that.
It's a unique scenario. You're in a new city, even though they were there before, and you're trying to win now and capture the hearts of a cluttered sports market.
Mm.
Like, it makes a lot of sense why they operated the way they did, and they're trying to sell season tickets. So I understand it. Now, the Giants, because you're asking about, how does this relate to the Giants?
Yep.
The Giants are looking at the 49ers, and they're probably saying, well, that's kind of how we want to be. We want to build this thing up through the draft and through our internal prospects, and then maybe one day when things are right, we'll make a bold trade, like in the way that the Niners traded up to go get Trey Lance. Like, I think that's what they're hoping. The problem is that baseball and football could not be more different in terms of ready-made players who can contribute. Every year in the NFL, you can get two starters in the draft. Every year, if you draft properly, you can get two starters, whether it's undrafted, whatever. Like, that's, you see, we go to practice, how many random undrafted guys have the ability to be a player on the Niners.
They're showing out.
Actually have impact.
They're showing out.
There's lots of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild, isn't it?
It's tons.
Like Burford, this guard. When they drafted him, most people are like, who? And then you and me go, and I'm like, I said to you right away, I said to Love, and I go, that guy will be the starting guard for the 49ers. Look at him. Like, I could just tell right away. they might have a 5-10 year starter.
You never know.
Right?
You never know. Everyone is saying that the offensive line is in shambles, but when you have Trent Williams on that side, Mike McGlinchey on the other, and then Burford right there on the right side, at least you got three. I think Burford can be good, and it's been proven that you can get a fourth round pick like an offensive lineman and have him start and be serviceable at the very least.
Contrast that with the Giants. Like, Luis Gonzalez is kind of like the equivalent of a random middle round pick, and you're like, I have no idea what he is. I don't even know if he's an everyday player. Baseball's just so different.
You'd think that he is, and then you see the base running, see those errors.
That's a whole nother.
Yeah, I mean, you think this guy, when you look at Luis Gonzalez and you watch him hit, you watch him up to bat, you watch his speed, you're like, oh, this guy's a player. This guy's an athlete.
With IQ.
But then you see some of the mental mistakes, and you just wonder, like, okay, what is this guy's future really in baseball? All right, Robin in San Francisco wants to weigh in. Robin in San Francisco.
Robin.
Happy to hear from you on a Friday, Robin. What's going on?
And happy birthday.
How are you guys? So I don't have anything like brilliant to say. I do remember reading something. Listen, and this is might be an oversimplification. The Rams just went out and spent money.
Yep.
Okay, so and because they got that new stadium, if you know the background of what they had to get back to LA from St. Louis, from the stadium, from that whole mess in St. Louis, and so the pressure, both I think. Organizations have pressure to win, but two different kind of pressures, okay? And so for LA, they had to produce, you understand? In that new stadium, trying to build a fan base, they had to produce. They went all out to produce. They made sure they had no damn holes to produce. So, it's kind of like this, I really believe that you get what you spend your money for when I buy clothes. So when I buy clothes, my daughter says, you gonna spend $80 for that blouse? And I say, yeah. And she says, I can get that at Target, but yours gonna fall apart, okay? But mine's is gonna last a little longer, okay? So that's how I kind of view that situation the same way with the Giants. Now, Kyle and them, they are building, I guess, a different way. But let's just face it, they're not building to win right now. Because if they did, they wouldn't have any holes. But they don't really have the type of pressure that the Rams had to produce. And I'll give you another example who has that type of pressure to produce. But I don't think they have the class to produce. That's the Raiders in that damn new stadium up there in Vegas. They better produce. They better put somebody in them seats. But I don't know if Mark Davis can do it. Let me know what you guys think.
Hey, Robin, happy birthday. Bye.
Happy birthday, Robin.
She's gone.
Well, the Raiders will put butts in the seats. They just won't be Raider fans. Like, if you watch any of those games last year, it's not all covered in silver and black.
Quick aside, I saw somebody post a thing on Twitter, and it was Mark Davis eating chicken wings, and said the person commented that was me. Who doesn't like chicken wings?
Wait, so people were going after him for eating chicken wings?
Well, they were saying that he looked sloppy eating the chicken wings, and that they were joking that was me eating chicken wings. And I said, who doesn't like chicken wings? And chicken wings are a sloppy eat.
Yeah, how are you supposed to eat them unsloppily?
Like, who doesn't like chicken
literally,
wings?
Literally, one of the foods where you can't look elegant eating a
Thank
chicken
you.
Wing.
Like, unless you gotta use a fork and a knife, just kind of cut it up.
Oh, that's like Seinfeld using it with the Snickers, George Costanza cutting it with the fork and knife.
Right.
No. Back to the Giants and Niners contrasted to where the Dodgers and the Lakers are. And obviously the Rams. Mark Willard's brought this up because he was down in Southern California for a long time. And it's a great point. And the more I've thought about it, I think he's right. San Francisco and the Bay Area is a transplant area. We all agree. It's a big transplant area. LA is more so. Like, LA is the transplant epicenter of California.
Yeah.
Right? And San Francisco's not too far behind. But for the most part, all of their famous people were exported in, or imported in from somewhere else. Yes, there's a Kobe and a Magic, but there's also a Shaq who came from Orlando, and he's one of their legends. There's obviously a Wilt, and he was a Warrior beforehand. And there's obviously a Kareem. He was a Milwaukee Buck beforehand. And then I look at the current Dodgers. All those guys were somewhere else outside of a couple of them, And
right.
Kershaw's the homegrown guy, but all their three stars right now, Turner, Betts, Freeman, they're from somewhere else. Mm. The Lakers have LeBron James right now. He's clearly from somewhere else. The Rams got Stafford. He's their centerpiece. He's from somewhere else. San Francisco, the Bay Area, whether it's Oakland, whether it's SF, we love our homegrowners. KD came here and he helped us win championships, but he wasn't one of us. Steph's one of us. Joe Montana's one of us.
The entire 2019 season turned into Draymond versus KD. Like, it really turned into that. Like, through the callers, the questions constantly coming through. You know, Kevin Durant's leaving through free agency. You know, for, would you rather have Draymond Green or Kevin Durant on this team for next 10 years? Just random topics that you're bringing up. So, yes, I'm with you. And then also when you go to the Giants, I mean,
Posey.
Look at everything from
Lincecum, there. Lincecum, yeah. Kane, Bumgarner. But my pushback would be Bonds, obviously, is one of the greatest Giants of all time. They got him in free agency, but he was from the Bay Area. So he was already kind of one of us. They drafted him out of high school, couldn't sign him. He goes to Arizona State. Other guys like Jeff Kent, never really, even though I think he's a Giant, I think he should have been embraced as a Giant, never really was embraced like that. Mm. Even though his impact was equivalent for some people of a Matt Williams, of a Will Clark, but he didn't resonate like that. Isn't that weird? Like Hunter Pence, he was from somewhere else, but he resonated here, which is odd. I also think the winning factors in that. Dwight Clark, I mean, go to the Niners list. There's so many of them. Steve doesn't hit the same way Joe does for a lot of people, and it's because he was a Buck beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everything that you're talking about right now, too, and this might be not off topic, but just out of nowhere, was thinking about what Hunter Pence said about Joey Gallo, right? Hunter Pence and the reason for Joey Gallo, the reason he made the case that the Giants should trade for him. This was prior to the deadline, and he joined the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast, and of course, a podcast for Giants fans, by Giants fans, Shasky and Willard, Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. Mm-hmm. Find that on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or wherever you get your podcast. But Hunter Pence was on with Willard, and he made the case for Joey Gallo that he needed to get out of New York because he was just getting criticized left and right, and rightfully so. He was batting under 100 in the past month and a half or whatever it was.
Yes.
He only hit 3 home runs or something, which was just not what the Yankee fans wanted. So he said, you know what? He comes over here. San Francisco Giants fans are going to embrace him, whatever. But I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have if he wasn't producing. And what you're saying right now, like, Barry Bonds is what really triggered this. You said Barry Bonds, well, even though he came from Pittsburgh, he was still a Bay Area guy. Well, I'm thinking of a guy who was a Giants fan, and I can't help but think, but man, that's why the hope for Aaron Judge is always going to be alive until he's officially signed somewhere else, because of that talent from being homegrown here in California, him being a Giants fan, and possibly wanting to play with his hometown team. Now, of course, 20% of it is going to be, oh yeah, I want to play for a hometown team, and 80% of it is going to be, I want to go to a winner. At the same time,
well, we don't know. We don't know. But
we don't know what his motivation is.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's why I think we are holding out hope so much for Aaron Judge. I know Bonte came on here and said Aaron Judge, that's out the window. I don't believe it's all the way out the window quite yet.
Who knows?
But what you're saying, it just, with these guys and how we accept them as homegrown guys, I think Aaron Judge here would just instantly be catapulted right to the top.
Had Brady signed here, there would have been an initial shock and awe, and there would have been some people that are like, oh my God. If he would have won in the playoffs, every Niner fan would have been wrapping their arms around him, right? I mean, in a heartbeat. Even though he's been a Patriot for the entirety of his career, at the very end, he comes here, and it would have been different. There are certain people that are born here where it just hits different. Ricky Henderson, a Yankee 8,000 times over. Like, he hits different for Oakland A's fans, also because he's from here. Dave Stewart, you know, he hits different because he's from here. So I do think that being born and raised here is like a totally different, it just hits totally different than some of these other ones. So, but like, I just look at how the Niners have put together their team. We all love Joe Staley, right? Trent Williams is the superior player.
Yeah.
In terms of who's better, you know, where they're at. But Joe Staley hits different for people because he's a homegrown guy.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the Comcast Business text line. That's also the phone number. Of course, you can catch us live on YouTube, live on Twitch. Just search up 95.7 The Game, subscribe, check us out. We are getting a lot of chicken wing texts, and that's not what's coming up. I want to get your thoughts on the Warriors' alternate jerseys. But Michael Hernandez here said, it's boneless for me, doggy. Boneless are not chicken wings to me. Boneless are just chicken tenders.
Well, they're separated chicken meat
nuggets.
That's been molded. Yeah, that's a whole nother category.
I don't count those as chicken wings. Boneless chicken wings are just chicken nuggets.
You don't want to know. That's what I'm going
to
tell you.
What's coming up on The Cave is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Is that?
Who did that?
That is the noise that Dan Dibley does to Steiny and Guru during Jockberty, which makes a return today, by the way. Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard at 11:45. Tune in, JD Guru and Dan Dibley at 11:45.
That's a heavyweight matchup.
Wow.
Wow.
Can't wait for the changeover coming up here. All right.
I wow, JD and Dibs going at it with Guru.
In studio, too, for the first time, because when we were doing it during the pandemic, people were on Zoom. So no delays from Guru this time to have an excuse.
Wow. All right, what's coming up on the game? Again, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Your thoughts on the Warriors' alternate jerseys. I want to get to that on the other side. Of course, if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. It's Stephen Langford in for Bonte Hill. Joe Shasky, as always. It's the Morning Roast, and it's the final half hour on a Friday here on 95.7 The Game.
I know you want to get into a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Kapler said something about cake that you have to hear.
Cake.
Yes.
Gabe Kapler.
Yep.
Manager of the San Francisco Giants who just got ejected yesterday.
And on donut day, because Dibs brought in donuts. Nice. Or someone brought in donuts and they allowed me one. I don't want to forget about it. But let's get into uniforms first.
Yes. Kapler cake. That supersedes anything that we have to do except the Warriors alternate jerseys, because I did want your thoughts on that. I know you're a big jersey guy. So we saw them unveil these new alternate jerseys, and they have this look, and everybody was comparing us to them, especially in the Bay Area. They have this Cal Bears kind of Michigan feel to them.
Western Virginia.
Yeah,
West Virginia.
Yeah, or maybe even the Pacers. When
they do kind of like the Pacers.
You know, maybe even them. But
it's like a navy blue with gold or yellow, depending on how you, you know, disseminate when it comes to the colors.
So what do you think? What do you think of these? Or maybe even the Pacers. When
they do kind of like the Pacers.
You know, maybe even them. But
it's like a navy blue with gold or yellow, depending on how you, you know, disseminate when it comes to the colors.
So what do you think? What do you think of these jerseys?
I think they're fine. I have no problem with them. I think they're cool. I personally would just roll back the black ones. I thought those were so sharp with the pop and yellow.
Yeah.
Like, I really like those a lot. I know a lot of teams across every sport want to incorporate black, even though it's not part of their color scheme. Mm-hmm. I think the Warrior ones are great. I absolutely love those ones. But these new ones, they're fine. They say Golden State across the chest, which none of their uniforms really say Golden State.
Yeah.
So that's unique.
The line that they got on the outline there on the around the neck and around the arms, it's a little thicker than the normal line would be, the outline. I don't
like them?
When I saw, they're fine. Like again, like you mentioned, they're fine. But when I saw them, everyone's going crazy. And I thought, they're okay. But, you know, there's just so many jerseys. I just can't keep up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. When I'm sitting behind the glass, and normally when Bonte's hosting the show and you guys are going at jersey to jersey and you're talking about the Warriors ones, it's just there's so many that there's just so many that are going around. The ones that I like, and maybe this is not really the unpopular one, but the ones I like the most are just the regular blue, the old school Warriors ones with the yellow outline and the trolley card on the back.
That's
on the back.
The city.
The city jerseys. I like the city ones.
I think those are their best uniforms.
Yes.
And I would go back to those ones being your primary. That's me personally.
Right.
Blue on the road, yellow at home, right? I would also incorporate the one that I always like is the Run TMCs. Like, those should be in the mix. Mm. In the late 80s, early 90s ones,
right,
before Thunder. I know that they did the Oakland ones. I would have those in the mix as well, too. Do I think there's too many jerseys? Probably. But when you have 82 games of inventory, I'm fine with you mixing and matching your jerseys throughout the year. I got no problem with that. So the Christmas jerseys for many years were really cool, you know, but they would only wear them on one day.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd see them for sale at like Target or something.
With the show, with the shirt. You remember that on Christmas Day, the shirts that they were wearing? They were practically
with the
shirts.
Pinstripe shorts.
Yeah.
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 The Harrison Barnes specials.
Weren't too big of a fan of those.
Jarrett Jack.
Yes.
That era.
Jarrett Jack.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
I miss Carl Landry too.
Oh, flexing on people.
And then
going to the Kings.
I like to think anytime Draymond's doing the flex, I'm like, he got that from Carl Landry.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think. But I don't know. I saw those through the week, and I just wanted to bring them up as we're here on a Friday. Now, before we get to that Kapler sound on cake, I just wanted to play this one more time, because yesterday we had the Giants and the Dodgers. They lost 8 straight. And we saw Kapler finally show some sort of reaction, right? He didn't like how the umpire came in and scolded the dugout, scolded him on how he should be handling his players. Because Harlan Garcia, he goes back to the Dodgers dugout. He, you know, gestures toward them because the Dodgers had gestured to them first. Then Gabe Kapler didn't like that. It's the first time we've really seen Gabe Kapler. This is the first time we've seen him blown up. we haven't seen him get ejected ever since his time back with the Phillies. He got ejected four times with the Phillies, never got ejected with the Giants.
Can you remember Bochy getting ejected? Like, just remember. I know it happened. I know it happened, but can you visualize it?
You could. You could visualize him getting, because
I have a hard time visualizing. That's just me.
Really?
Yeah. I know he did. He would stand there and he'd bob his head and he'd point down to the ground a lot. Yes. And he'd kind of like talk down so that the camera wouldn't see a lot of the things that were coming out of his mouth. But I like, but not like screaming and yelling the way Kapler was yesterday.
Right. You know, you can't picture that, but you picture Bochy just the old school way of doing it, which is getting up in their face, kind of like the Lou Piniella thing. Maybe kicking some dirt on the maybe kicking some dirt on the shoes or whatever. But we saw Kapler get really mad, got ejected, and it just felt like it was all for naught. We were super thrilled with we were super thrilled with it at first, at least I was. And then I realized, well, you're down, you're probably gonna lose you're probably gonna get swept again. Like, what's the point? But I want to play this for you.
Yes.
Okay. Because the Dodgers, everyone's wondering what they were doing, and they made some sort of gesture, which, you know, was inappropriate. Again, like you said, not PG, but Trey Turner spoke on what happened between Mookie Betts and Harlan Garcia. And Trey Turner, of course, star shortstop with the Dodgers. Here's what he had to say about this, because I find this to be kind of embarrassing for the Giants.
What did you guys see in the dugout during the thing in the sixth with Garcia?
I mean, we saw him, do the celebration or whatever to Belly. And then I actually didn't see what happened after the end of the inning. But I know him and Mookie were obviously going back and forth. But yeah, I didn't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
See exactly what happened, but I know, you know.
Does it surprise you or anything like that, just to see him react like that?
Yes and no. I mean, nothing really surprises me anymore, but at the time of the game and the score of the game and the inning, it didn't really, you know, make a lot of sense to a lot of us, I think. But, I mean, I guess that's where they're at.
I guess that's where they're at.
It's desperation times. That's, I get, okay. Dibs brought this up earlier this week, and myself and I would say Willard also were kind of like, nah, we kind of scoffed at it. And now I'm open to listening to it. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm definitely not dismissing it. He brought up this notion. Has Kapler lost the dugout? And we throw those things around, right? But think about what's going on this week. You have all the trades. You might be here. You might not be here. Rodon recently losing his mind in the dugout. You got everything that's going on with this team on the field in terms of underperforming. Everyone's screaming and yelling for Kapler to scream and yell. And then he finally screams and yell. And the team doesn't respond at all to any of those things. Now we'll see what ends up happening the next couple of days. Do you think he's maybe just... Not that people don't like him or anything. They're just kind of like, nah, tuning him out. When you lose like this...
Maybe I'd flip that. I mean, is Kapler looking at this roster, you know, going into it? For example, going back to Moneyball, right? You watch how Philip Seymour Hoffman played Art Howe and just how Art Howe, how displeased he was with the lineup that they were putting out there.
Yes.
How he's just like, really? Is this what you're giving me to work with right now? Like, this is what the lineup that you're throwing out there, Brad Pitt? Really? You're telling me this? I got to work with these guys. Like, I wonder if that's what's happening with Kapler and the Giants. So I'd flip that and say, you know, has Kapler lost the locker room? Or maybe has Farhan lost Kapler with this lineup that he's having to throw out there every day? Because it's not all Kapler's fault. It's not all Kapler's fault that he has to throw out a lineup where What was Willard saying yesterday in the changeover? That metrically, this is like the worst defense that they've had on that field throughout the season. I mean, this is what you're giving me to work with. I wonder if you maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Well, I think you should redirect your anger and your frustration and your whatever, whether you're a player or a fan, at the front office. I mean, whether it's ownership and the money that they're spending or lack thereof, going down 20% in the payroll, or whether it's the personnel decisions that they've made. One of the things that you hear from the great managers, is that what they'll use is they'll use the front office, the people up above, as it's them versus us, meaning the players on everybody in the clubhouse is united and they're rallying together, even though we know a manager is more, you know, he's more front office than he is player,
right?
Because someone has to be the superior or the authority out there, but they always turn it into, oh, these guys, we got to rally so that those guys upstairs know that we're all in and they make a move to improve this clubhouse. You know, there's like a them versus us thing. It just feels like everybody's doing their own thing right now,
right?
Because nobody has any solidification in the organization long term. No one.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them. They have the day off today. Day off on a Friday night when they're playing the Oakland Athletics. Two game series. Okay. Great. Then they get to go play the Dodgers. So, or excuse me, the Padres.
Oh, can't wait for that. Juan Soto.
Okay. So the Kepler cake thing.
Oh, I mean, this is all just right, so another word what salad is
this,
from
what,
the guy.
What is this? What was the cake for?
It was, I guess, his birthday of some sort.
His birthday of some sort?
Yeah, or some sort of celebration. And they asked him about, hey, there's a steak cake, which I don't even know what that means. Does that mean it's a cake shaped like steak? Or is this a steak shaped like cake?
It is cake shaped like a steak. So two years in a row, Gabe Kapler has received this for his birthday. It was his birthday a couple days ago. Years in a row, he has declined to eat it.
So do you have the sound of him answering why?
So they asked him.
How was your cake yesterday?
I am embarrassed to say that I did not eat the cake yesterday.
Is that 2 years straight where you didn't eat it?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to be like forced into it on a day. Like if I want to eat something, I just want to eat it whenever I want to. My grandfather talked a lot about sort of like the freedom that he had on any given day, and that the holidays didn't make his life any different or force him into making any choices. I remember him talking about that a lot. I feel similarly. Like, if I want to eat, I'll eat. If I want to drink, I'll drink. And it may be on my birthday, but it might not be. So I don't feel any, even though a cake showed up, I don't feel pressure to eat it.
I mean, okay, let's put baseball to the side. Okay, everyone, put baseball to the side. All our feelings about baseball, throw those to the side. Mm-hmm. What the hell's wrong with this guy? Like, on the real, when you get a gift as a kid, and even though you don't like the gift, if you're like, oh, no, more underwear from grandma, like, what do your parents say? Like, what are you doing? Whack into the back of the head. Like, you need to thank them. Pretend like you like the gift. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody, like, you're supposed to show certain pleasantries to people when you go to someone's house, all right? And you're eating a foreign food that maybe you're not accustomed to. Mm-hmm. You will eat the food and pretend that it's good strictly out of respect for not embarrassing the other people. When someone brings you a cake and it's your birthday, take a nibble. It's not going to kill you, dude. Like, on the real.
Take a little bite of the steak.
What's wrong with you?
The steak cake.
I mean, really.
That. When I'm hearing that.
This is why you're so uptight.
Dude. When I'm hearing that, you know, this is what I learned from my grandfather. Okay, for each family, to each their own. Whatever. If this is what you learned from your grandfather. I can't relate to that because what I was taught with my family is, hey, if you don't eat any of that, it's going to get taken.
And it's disrespectful.
It is,
That's the way I view it. It's to me, and you can say, Joe, it's just a birthday cake. If somebody here at the office, all right, brought in a big cake and it was for me, not for you or whatever, like it's another if it's for you, you know, all right, for you. You can't take a nibble. A nibble. No. Out of the principle of freedom, I don't feel like right now I need to be eating cake. I just think it's so weird.
So he had his birthday at the end of last month.
It's the weirdest thing he said.
So July 31st. And he did. You don't eat the cake? Like, hey, Kapler, just eat the cake, dude. That's all you got to do. Take a little piece. It's fine.
I just.
What does he think it's going to do? Are one of his, you know, abs going to go away? What the hell, man?
I stand up to peer pressure.
Yeah, it's like, I understand he takes stances. That's fine, but it's just eat the cake.
He's a robot, and this is like going back to it. Like I don't think he's the reason this team is losing because of baseball decisions. Like I'm talking about what he brings to the dugout. I don't think he has enough versatility in his personality to be a dynamic manager. Not that you have to be 7,000 different things, but you have to be able to be more of a chameleon than he is. I am this way all the time because that's the way I'm always. Steve Kerr, we all agree, this is one of the greatest coaches in Warrior history, if not the greatest coach in Warrior history. And he's probably a top 12 or so NBA coach of all time right now. Right? Will you agree?
Yeah.
Is Steve Kerr one way all the time?
No. No.
Sometimes he's relaxed. Sometimes he's fired up. Sometimes he needs to yell at someone. Sometimes he needs to put his arms around someone. The essence of coaching, to me, is getting the best out of each individual person and being able to communicate that in a way that relates to every single person. So you need to alter up your pitch, your sell, your motivation, your tactics, depending on who you're talking to. If you have kids at home, do you treat all your kids equal? No. One of your kids needs a kick in the pants. The other kid, you can give them a little more freedom because they're a free spirit, but yet they get things done. It's the same thing when coaching. So like to me, his whole there's one setting and that's how it that is the thing I totally disagree with in life. You cannot treat people with one setting all the time.
From Oreo Cookie on the Comcast business text line, 888-957-9570. It was leg day. There's no cake on leg day. That's from Oreo Cookie. Then from 408, weirder for you to care enough to make a segment on it, to be honest. Well, it plays into what we're seeing here with the Giants. Every little thing. And
it's one setting.
And the Steve,
everything is one setting.
The Steve Kerr that you mentioned, when you're talking about that, I couldn't help but think of that one shot that Curry had where he shouldn't have taken the shot. He shouldn't have. And Kerr, instead of, normally he's pretty, he can be pretty even keeled on the, you know, on the bench. You know, he kind of sits there
with
his arms crossed.
There's a time and a place, I feel like, with Kerr. And that's the thing I love about
him. But he puts his arms up like, Steph, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
And then he turns around because he made the shot. And then he puts his head in his hands. He's like, holy hell, this is all right. This is what I'm getting into.
Exactly.
All right, fine. Like, that's the thing with Kaplan. That's why I want to see him show some emotion in the dugout. If that's who he is, that's who he is, then fine. But I want to see a little more out of a coach.
And a lot of people are going to say, well, look at Belichick. He's one way all the time. To the media, you talk to people who have coached with him, played with him. He's like obsessed with jerky boy calls. I don't know if you remember the old jerky boy calls where you like prank call people. There's a side of Belichick we'll never see at a podium that players and coaches have talked about. Is he intense? Absolutely. But he also communicates with his guys in different ways, and he shows his sense of personality to them in ways that we'll never see.
Let's go to the 408. I don't see any correlation. They're arguing through the text line, which is fine. I don't see any correlation between coaching and passing on a birthday cake. Now, the Bill Belichick thing you bring up, you talk about jerky boys. I go back to that video of Randy Moss inviting him to his Halloween party.
It's the best.
Bill Belichick doesn't look like much of a guy who wants to go to a Halloween party. He is the guy that people dress as nowadays at Halloween parties. You cut the sleeves off your hoodie, then you wear it, and then you're Bill Belichick, and then you know you bring along a friend who has a mullet. Then you're like, hey, we're Bill and Steve Belichick. But anyway, when he invited him, that's my favorite video, by the way, is just they have the camera on Belichick, and he kind of gives a little smirk. All right, I'll go. And then he's wearing the pirate outfit.
Oh, great.
And he's roller skating on a roller rink, and that's what they cut to.
It's amazing.
So these little things, just these little things. I know it doesn't have much to do with anything. Like a cake steak, it doesn't have anything to do with the team. But it's just, go out of your comfort zone a little bit.
My favorite people in all of sports never act one way all the time, right? They show range of emotions. My favorite artists, like Tupac, he'll give you Brenda's Got a Baby, and he'll give you Hit 'Em Up, and he'll give you How Do You Want It. Like, you get a wide range showcasing all of the emotions. Because in my life, I'm not one way all the time. Some days I'm happy, some days I'm a little sadder, some days I'm more angry, whatever it is. Like, and I get it. Dude's a robot. But my God, I don't know if the robot thing works throughout the drag of 162. I do think you got to show a little more. In the same way that like Billy Martin wore on people and Harbaugh wears on people in terms of being one way, intense, in your face all the time. Like, you got to mix it up a little. Come on, man. Smile, bruh. Dude, it's a cake.
What was it? The thing that he eats ice cream and then, but he doesn't eat the ice cream.
I don't know.
He's spits out weird. The ice cream.
You know what they say about this? This is like my uncle used to say this all the time. He worked for George Lucas. George Lucas, billionaire.
Yeah.
Eccentric. Mm. If George Lucas was on 6th and Market right now in a tent, we'd say, look at that guy's a weirdo, right? But because he's got all this money, he's eccentric, right? And certain people, it's okay to say it out loud. Weirdo. I'm sorry, not eating the cake, weirdo thing. And disrespectful to the people that brought you the cake. Just have a little nibble.
Just something.
Just come on.
Just something. Eat the crust. Eat the crust of the cake. Eat the crust.
It's just weird.
Where do you go?
Defiant for no reason.
I will say, though, this steak cake is a very odd shape. You know?
It's like really cool looking, though, if you look it up. Because they put like the little butter, which I've probably like fondant or something like that in the middle. And it's like very thick, like T-bone size steak. Yeah, very interesting.
So it's cake. It's actual cake.
Correct.
But it looks
shaped
like steak.
Yeah.
Well, gotcha.
They use a decorative frosting to kind of give the steak texture on the outside.
That's where I was confused. That's where I was, because it looks dark and it was humongous. I didn't know what was going on. Dude, it's chocolate. Okay.
I see those videos where it's like they'll have a delicious looking cheeseburger. Then you cut into it and it's a cake. I hate that. I would hate that. Like if you showed up and you told me, like if you gave me a steak cake for my birthday, I'd appreciate the gesture. But if you told me, oh yeah, this is a steak, then you cut into it and I realize it's a cake, I'd be like, F you, man. I wanted a real steak, not the cake.
Whenever you go and like get food for somebody and you're trying to do like a nice gesture and you bring them something because they maybe didn't answer the phone or they didn't tell you exactly what you want, and you give it to them and you hand it to them and you go, hey, I got you this Dutch Crunch pastrami and, oh, but you got American on it? I like Swiss. It's like, dude, I got your sandwich. Yeah, I'm good. That's basically what he did. A jerk.
All right, you know what? We do have a caller who's been waiting on hold patiently who wants to talk about the 49ers quarterback situation. Steak cake, man. Mr. Jones in Atlanta. What's going on, Mr. Jones? What do you think? Before you talk about the 49ers quarterback, what do you think of this conversation we're having right now with Gabe Kapler not eating the steak cake?
Now, I'm not a cake guy myself, but just on the D thing, on the respect, you got to take a piece.
Thank you.
It ain't going to kill you, bro.
Thank you.
You can get your little for it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bro.
You ain't got to eat the whole cake. Like,
thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Man.
Preach.
It is, you know, just on, just being decency. I appreciate, like you said, with the sandwich. I'm going to cuss you out. I bring you a sandwich, you talking about, bro, I didn't want American or Swiss or whatever. What? At least I brought you a sandwich. No, now you're going to be hungry. I'm going to give a sandwich to my dog. But,
Mr. Jones, whatever you have to say about the 49ers quarterbacks better be good, because you are not going to top
you're
what you just
fire.
Said. You're fantastic right now.
Okay, so look, that was fantastic. This got to be great because I'm still sick. I'm terribly sick because I feel like we're going to become the Falcons. I know we have a great defense, and we've always had a great defense. We are the 49ers since the beginning. That's the dynasty. We've known for defense, right? So throw that out of the book. But there's nobody in the world that can tell me we're going to get better by losing Jimmy. Do y'all remember what we were before he got here? You know what I'm saying? Everybody's on the Josh Allen train and the, you know, all these new guy quarterbacks. Yeah, Joe Burrow did the thing. But you know what? We got a guy that just took us to the NFC Championship. Y'all can say the defense did it. If you pick Trey Lance in, who's going to do it? It's not going to be Trey. The dude ain't played football since I played football. I'm just saying. Right? Then we had a guy. Okay, he was one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. That's okay. You know how many teams are trying to get there? Cleveland? Anybody? We are one of the blue chip franchises of the world. And we want to go from going to Super Bowls to playoffs to going to, I don't know where we're going to go. You can't tell me.
It's a leap of faith. Mr. Jones, you're right. What they're doing is a leap of faith. And we kind of spoke about this the last hour. What the Rams did was a leap of faith. There's no guarantee that Stafford stays healthy and they win and all of those things. And, you know, moving off of Goff, a lot of people would say that's no doubt about it. Stafford's more talented than Goff. I think everyone would admit that. But even then, people realize, like, you know, Goff wasn't that bad.
Mm.
If you're looking at the totality of it, they just thought that they could get better. And that's kind of what the hope is with the 49ers. We just haven't seen it yet, and it's going to take time.
Once defense has started to become too complicated for Goff, too, that's when, ever since that report, I don't know what's worse, actually, this whole Cliff Kingsbury thing with the Cardinals
where he basically said he let Kyler Murray call plays on Saturday because I guess Kyler Murray was shaking his head at some of the decision making and basically said, hey, go ahead, big dog. This bleep's hard to do. I wonder if that's worse or that time when Sean McVay was bending the rules a little bit because you could talk in the into the microphone, I think, until there's 12 seconds left.
Yeah, it's 10 to 15.
Yeah, it's I think there's 12 seconds left. So he'd basically give the play calls.
Green dot helmet?
Or no, it's within 12 seconds. And you wouldn't see him line up until there's just that much time left on the play.
Rolando McClain has the green dot helmet. For those that are on the inside, 95.7 The Game, Anarchies.
Oh, no.
Or it was not Anarchies. It's... Archives.
There you go. Yeah.
He's wearing the green dot helmet.
Green dot helmet. All right. It's
the mesh point.
It's time for the Xfinity Flex moment of the show.
All right. Why don't you pretend to be one of the reporters? You're Stephen Lang for 95.7 The Game. Okay. And I will be, this is how I, again, I'm different from Kapler. This is how I would answer that exact same question.
Hey, Gabe, this is the first time that you've been ejected since being the manager of the San Francisco Giants. You haven't been ejected since being with the Phillies. What led to that ejection, Gabe?
You've been watching us since the All-Star break? We stink. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off. I took it out on the umpire. You know, we're getting clobbered by our rivals right now. And, you know, I got a pitcher on the mound who's, you know, mad at guys celebrating when my own guy, Mauricio Dubon's bunting when we're up 10 earlier this year. I told people we're reinventing baseball. And now I got my own guy on my own team getting mad because someone's having fun on the other side as they're drubbing us. I'm frustrated, guys, and I took it out on the umpire, and we just kind of stink right now. Like, that's what I wish. That's right. What I wish Kapler would just say.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app in favor, 95.7 The Game, for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And don't forget that you can also watch us every day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game as we bring in one Whitey Gleason, who's in for Mark Willard today, and as always, Dan Dibley.
Yay.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, big day. Yeah. Jeopardy returning today, so we're very, very excited about
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Super excited. Thrilled. Yeah, JD, Guru, myself, and I'm glad that this news got broken with Bonte not on the phone because he would be so hot. He'd be mad from here. Dibs, you're ducking me. I'm tired of you ducking me. You got to wait till I'm in Europe before you bring back Jeopardy.
You guarantee he will be logged in. He actually logged in after calling in to the YouTube chat, and then he started chatting with people in the YouTube. We have screenshots of it.
Chatting it up.
And then Anna, his significant other, logged in, and she was chatting it up with people. The YouTube chat is wild.
Yeah, I'm on the YouTube chat every day, and I'm trying to get on the Twitch as well. And sometimes I got to log you out, log myself. No, you're good, because sometimes I leave myself logged, and then Guru comes in.
Guru's got all the heat today, all of a sudden, from Joe's account. I'm like, God darn it, I didn't log out.
Well, there's somebody who weighs in on the YouTube as Joe Shasky, and I think it's your dad. It's got your icon, but a lot of times
my dad doesn't have a YouTube thing.
But I don't think it's you.
No, but it's probably someone faking to be me. Because I'm Joe Shasky III on YouTube.
Right.
Because someone else was in the chat pretending to be me one day, I was like, I got to create an account that's myself.
Yeah, because so I was confused. I thought it might be your dad because somebody's weighing in with hot takes.
He calls himself Papa Shasky now.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. My brother, Mikey 2.0. Because he kind of resents that I'm now Dibs.
Okay.
My father, Dwayne Dibley, rest in peace, was Dib. He was always Dib.
Gotcha.
My brother Mike became Dibley as a PE teacher. I took on Dibs when I got on the radio. And so now people refer to me instead of my brother. And so he got a little bit hurt. And so he starts to call himself now First Dibs because he's the oldest.
That.
So he goes to get a...
I like that. Your leftover Dibs?
Well, whatever. He goes to try to get one of those license plates, right? That you get.
Yeah.
He tries to get First Dibs, but it's not available. So he decided to get Got Dibs.
Oh, that's good.
Instead, he got DBS. So I'm like, is DBS like double? Some syndrome?
Like some disease
yes.
Or something.
I'm like, you got DBS?
Oh, that poor guy.
Do I have DBS? Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
He couldn't even get his own moniker, my poor brother.
Oh, I love that. We have it in our family where we've got five Joes. I've got my cousin Joe, his son, little Joe, and then my grandpa, old Joe.
Of course.
Like old Ben, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And then my dad was Big Joe for all these years.
Okay.
But he's no longer Big Joe. I'm Big Joe, but I've still been Little Joe, but I'm still Big Joe.
Yeah.
You know, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
So when someone used to call the house, this is back in the house phone days. Oh, hi, man. Can I speak with Joe? I'm here. Big Joe, please. Oh, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Even though I'm taller than him.
This is The Changeover, brought to you by Oakland PD Recruitment. Be the change that you want to see. This last half hour, I'm sorry, before we, I don't know what you're going to
I was going to go backdoor Little Joe, but that's neither here nor there.
That's a solid four. Even backdoored Little Joe.
So,
and now I'm playing dominoes
on the heels of
thank you
Gabe Kapler getting ejected in yesterday's game. Yeah,
what?
Yeah, he showed some emotion. Yeah, for once. But we also played some sound from Spadoni played it earlier.
Oh my goodness.
It was from his birthday because they gave him a cake that was shaped like a steak. And Spadoni, if you have the sound, Kapler was asked about it because he apparently didn't take a bite of the steak cake.
How was your cake yesterday?
I am embarrassed to say that I did not eat the cake yesterday.
Is that 2 years straight where you didn't eat it?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to be like forced into it on a day. Like if I want to eat something, I just want to eat it whenever I want to. My grandfather talked a lot about sort of like the freedom that he had on any given day, and that the holidays didn't make his life any different or force him into making any choices. I remember him talking about that a lot. I feel similar. Like, if I want to eat, I'll eat. If I want to drink, I'll drink. And it may be on my birthday, but it might not be. So I don't feel any, even though a cake showed up, I don't feel pressure to eat it.
Wow.
There's even though a cake showed up.
There's got to be a quicker way to answer that, huh?
Yeah.
Word salad.
Yeah, a little bit embarrassed. You should be embarrassed, Gabe. Not taking a bite.
I haven't had any yet.
Absurd.
Yeah, I'll get some. I haven't had any yet. Next.
Can you just have a nibble?
Like, how disrespectful. You know, we all have that aunt or uncle. If you're listening, it's none of you. It's the one who's not listening. But we all have that uncle who's not a great cook. But you sit down for whatever Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Aunt Jane,
dinner,
rest in peace.
And you go, and like the food gets passed around, and it's out of respect and obligation. When someone brings you something, you take a little nibble or a bite. Oh, this was really good. And you just go through it. Like, you can't take a nibble of the cake. It's weird.
It's not up to you to decide when I'm going to have cake just because it happens to be my birthday.
And then pin it on his grandfather.
Right.
And freedom.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, freedom and my grandpa. Because cake is synonymous with birthdays, but none of you have the right to tell me when I should eat cake, even though it happens to be the day that I was born.
Yeah.
It's just,
whoa.
It's a fascinating battle that he chose to pick there, but I guess if you're that sculpted and your body's that fit,
okay,
go ahead. All you know, right. Don't eat cake. Although maybe it's time to eat cake. You've lost, is it 13 of 16 is it 14 of 17? I've kind of lost track.
A little rough patch.
More than a rough patch now.
Yesterday, even watching on TV, I wasn't there, but when he got thrown out, you could some jackass yelling, "He finally showed some emotion."
Yeah,
you guys heard that.
You heard me?
Yeah, there was one guy in section 305 that was doing that, standing up, didn't get his single, and no one said anything. Everyone was like, "Sit down, shut up."
What's the matter with Kapler? He feels fine.
Nobody knew what was going on.
He's not mad.
I was just happy that he was yelling for once.
Good. Yeah,
so it would just bring a little life to the team, and I don't know what it didn't even do anything.
Didn't make much difference, did it?
No, it did not. No.
That lineup yesterday was like if Portland had an expansion team, that would be their lineup.
Well, wait, here's my biggest issue.
Or Nashville or somebody.
They came out earlier this year, right? And Dubon's not on the team right now, but they came out earlier this year, and they're button up 10. And they're like, well, you know, we're just going to do that. You know, we're trying to have fun. If guys want to celebrate.
We're playing all 27 outs,
exactly. Yeah. And he goes, and at some point, someone's going to do it to us. Well, that point finally happened. And they celebrated. Whatever. The celebration, throw to the side, because it was a weirdo celebration from Mookie Betts. Not a good look, right?
Yeah.
And then they do that, whatever. And then Garcia's all ticked off and throwing a big tantrum, and that's how this whole thing kind of gets set off. And it's like, come on, you guys. We knew this was coming. You knew you were going to be a hypocrite at some point, and boom, here we are.
And remember? Garcia did his celebration back to him. It's from the Wolf of Wall Street, like microphone on the head, and you know, baseball's gotten to the point where we celebrate everything now, which is good. We need more personality, but you're right about, you know, the chickens do come home to roost, but I'm glad Kapler took umbrage because the ump had no right to come over and try to scold Garcia.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's why Kapler took umbrage.
Was it Darius Miles and some
of
the used to be the knuckleheads?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was him and Quentin Richardson.
Yeah.
Him and Quentin Richardson. That's going way back.
Yeah.
But Clippers. You know, The yes. Dodgers were upset still because remember Duvall hit somebody?
Well, he hit Betts at the end of it. But it was an accident in a blowout game.
Maybe. Or also, remember the Giants were upset because the Dodgers were yelling at the third base coach?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So that was the Dodgers' answer. They answered on Whitey, the field, and that's loser talk.
In my life, I can't remember feeling so lopsided between the Giants and Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've just been blessed to be in a certain era where the Giants have been pretty good for the most part. Right now, in terms of like them being so stacked in the elite and the Giants feeling so hopeless, maybe I'm just in the moment, but it feels the most lopsided it's been.
Well, you are in the moment, but if you think about last year, it was this lopsided, but the Giants won... What, 10 of the 19 in the regular year and barely lost in the 3 of the 5. So even though last year it was this lopsided, it wasn't that lopsided on the field. But now these 8 games where none of these games have really been that close. I mean, the Dodgers are cuffing you around. It's big brother, little brother, where the little brother never wins.
No.
In front of me at the game, there was a Dodger fan who was wearing a Betts jersey. There was a Giants fan who was in the middle of it. Then there was a guy in a Padres hat. So a Padres fan, Dodger fan, and Giant fan, all right there. And you had, you know, Betts hitting a home run.
He's so good.
And them knocking guys in. And you had, you know, the Dodger guy like kind of laughing at the Giants dude and the Padres guy just going, oh, you know, it's like, your team sucks. And then the Giants fan... The only time that he ever cheered was for the Brandon Belt double in the ninth when they were already down and there was probably no chance of them coming
back. The old belt meaningless double.
It's just like, it felt like I'm watching what these two teams are doing right now where they're just both laughing in the face of the Giants where the Giants are just like, all right, Brandon Belt double. And just,
remember, it is an even year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point.
Judas went four. Good point. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, we all kind of saw that coming where Junis issues the walk and here comes Betts and let's go to the pen. And it's like, you know.
It's like a video game. You know, like you get to Zelda and you kick X and all of a sudden the screen starts to play out. That's exactly what happened right there.
You kind of knew it was coming.
And Betts, for a second, I heard from this guy, Mr. Broderick, retired FBI agent. He coached basketball. Great guy. Diehard Red Sox fan from Boston. I mean, from the city of Boston. Talking big smack. He's like, I'm telling you, Mookie Betts is the greatest ball player in Boston Red Sox history. He's more talented than Teddy Ballgame. My dad told me, and he kept saying, they gave away Willie Mays 2.0. Now that I've seen him up close and personal for multiple years, I didn't see Willie Mays. This guy feels like one of the most complete baseball players I've ever seen in my life, and I love watching him play, and it just hurts my soul that he's on the Dodgers.
Do you think batting averages are so much lower now because guys just don't care? Like Mookie Betts did like 257. He's great, but there was a time when we'd go, whoa, and now we realize, oh, there's more important things.
Yeah.
I think maybe players don't care as much about their batting average.
League batting average across baseball is the lowest since, I think, 1978?
71.
Oh, 71 now.
71 now, yeah, 71.
It's what, 241 or 240?
It's terrible.
Yeah, last time I checked, it was like 242. Yeah.
And when you look at the list, it's all, you know, 2018 teams through 2021, like within the top 10 of league lowest batting average.
I know there's a lot of factors, but I just don't think players take the pride that a guy like Pete Rose used to take in his quote-unquote batting
average.
They're
coaching it out, too, because the base hit, like the opposite field base hit, is one of the worst things you can do. It's like the mid-range shot in basketball where, you know, nice, solid stop at the elbow, and I'm going to rise and fire from 15. You know what I mean?
You're so right.
That shot used to be like a good shot. You know, 3-on-2 break, and I'm going to jump stop at the foul line, and I'm going to square up for a 15-footer.
And elevate.
Now, you get cut for that. In baseball, to me, the base hit is the same kind of equivalent as the... you know, the mid-range jumper.
I know it's a legend, but like, I just Googled him for some reason the other day. It's Joe DiMaggio. Someone brought him up. I Googled. I'm like, his career batting average was 325.
325?
For his career, I almost fell back. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And like, yes, it's specialized pitching. That's number one. Like, that is the top of the mark. But the other part is this, and I'm watching the captain doc, and you're watching these guys go up there, and they're playing Mariano Rivera. This is the Diamondbacks. I forgot. They bunted 3 times in that inning.
Mm.
Say it out loud. They bunted 3 times in that inning against Mariano Rivera. And I'm like, what? The ball was just in play. Forget hits.
Yeah.
The ball was just in play more often. Are you looking up the Joe DiMaggio?
No, I'm actually just looking to see who's leading baseball in average.
Who is
it? Well, it's Paul Goldschmidt.
And what's he batting?
He's batting 332.
Wow.
But I was just going to quickly look to see how many guys are at least hitting 300.
11?
Well, 10th on the list is Benintendi, and he's hitting 305.
Okay.
So, you probably don't have more than 15 or so, 20 guys are even hitting three bills.
Both leagues combined, yeah, you're looking at?
Yeah. So I did an exercise last
Freddie
year.
Freddie Freeman's third.
Yeah, and he's ridiculous. Yeah. I did an exercise last year. I think 2002-03, like that steroid era, you had like 45 guys hit over 310. Right, just to give you an idea of how much the game has changed. You could say steroid era, but it's also the pitching as well. Again, I'm watching the captain doc, and I'm thinking about how baseball's changed. Rivera's up. It's the ninth inning, game seven of the World Series. And you're squaring up to bunt for hits and to move the runners over. Mariano throws one into center field or whatever. But the point being is the ball's just not in play like it used to be. You're not seeing guys make defensive plays down the line or whatever because we're literally striking out at a rate we've never seen in baseball.
So next year, if they eliminate the shift or they modify the shift, there should be more balls in play. And who will that be bad for? Bad defensive teams.
Yeah.
Who's a bad defensive team that we know down the street?
I'm looking forward to the shift being banned. And they're going to do these like line thing. I'm really looking forward to it. Well, because how many balls get hit now into spots in short center, short right, whatever? And you're like, oh, dude, what? Like that just doesn't even look right.
Freddie Freeman, he goes the other way. Belt will lay one down. I mean, there are ways to counter, but
Wade Boggs had said when he came out here, he's like, if they would have shifted me, I would have batted 440. Does anyone dismiss that? Wade Boggs?
The amount that you inside out hits that Derek Jeter has in that captain dog. It feels like every highlight they're showing is a hit to the opposite field. Agree. But
overrated. I can't watch it.
You know what's weird? Like,
are you with me?
What's
that?
Oh. The Jeter's overrated.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. That.
But he's overrated.
Why? I want to hear what your reasoning is.
Not very good defensively.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, 3,500 hits, that's not very good.
No, he's absolutely a great hitter.
Sixth all time.
Great hitter. But the defensive metrics, Omar won 9 consecutive gold gloves in the AL. A-Rod wins 2 in a row. Then A-Rod joins the Yankees, and Jeter, who is the 18th best defensive by the metrics, shortstop in baseball, wins back-to-back gold gloves?
I used to think his name was Pasta Diving Jeter, because every time you watch a game, ground ball, Pasta Diving Jeter!
Don't humor him. I got 3 hours.
Jesus. His name was.
I'm sorry.
More than that. Oh, look at that dive. You know, it's like Wilmer sometimes.
Whoa, that's going to be a long 3 days.
Great dive. How like a better defender gets there and doesn't have to dive.
What did you think when A-Rod, because in the thing they said, A-Rod's doing an interview with a guy, and
I just stopped the show.
It's like 98, 99, 2000. Yeah. He goes, I mean, he's an afterthought on that team. I mean, he's a great player, but like you're thinking of stopping Paul O'Neill and Daryl Strawberry. And they're going through all the names on that team. Bernie Williams, obviously. And Jeter's, his resume speaks for itself. But when we're talking about the all-time players at the position of shortstop, yeah, you're right. Defensively, he falls way short.
And just with the flip and everything, you know, I resent that. That was
if Giambi good sides, awful play. I mean, Jesus.
Awful. Yeah, rest in peace, Jeremy Giambi.
I mean, jeez. I still am not convinced he's out, though. Maybe I'm alone on this one. Okay, you agree with me?
Oh, he's absolutely safe.
He's an A's fan.
If they had this replay, he actually would have been shown that he was safe.
Jeter, by the way, 308 all time.
308?
In the postseason.
That's crazy.
What was he? In the postseason, he hit 308. 158 postseason games.
Jesus.
And he hit 308, so.
That's crazy.
I mean, I know fielding range and pasta diving Jeter and all the rest
he's
of it.
I didn't say
it with an accent.
He's a no doubt.
No, you should have. It would have been a lot cooler if you did.
You know, it's all famer.
You know.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Diving a Jeter.
310 in the regular year.
I mean, come on.
308 in the post.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and only 3,465
hits. Gave up more hits than he got.
There you go. Yeah. Go ahead, hang your shingle on that one.
What gets you about the Giants, though? It's like they lead the league in bunts, right? They lead the league in bunt hits.
Yeah, 25.
They get on base with a bunt, and then what's next?
Have you ever seen a team that just cannot score with the bases loaded and nobody out? It's like, well, they're done.
You know what I'm calling
bases
for?
Bases loaded and nobody out.
Never. Can I see a squeeze? If you're the team that bunts that much, might as well. I'd rather that than, you know, 3 or 4 pitches and the bat doesn't leave your shoulders, Machado. Mm-hmm. It's...
Whitey Gleason is in for Mark Willard today for Willard and Dibs. What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
We're going to talk to Steve Wyche today, NFL Network.
Nice. He's great.
See, I hear something maybe going on with this Jimmy Garoppolo, and I guess he did it. Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, maybe he's back in play for the Cleveland Browns. And as we mentioned, it's the Jeopardy Summer Slam edition.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Undertaker making an appearance?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
We got to get you involved. Yeah, well, this is just starting today. We got to get you
involved. Let me tell you,
barely making it to the finish line today.
Today's I'm different. Take the maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, if you happen to be.
I'm definitely in.
Okay. If you're in and around the city, you know, come on back.
Yeah.
I think we've got Kruger's in for Steiny.
Oh, nice.
As Steiny takes a Bonte Hillian vacation of his own. So, you know, a lot of mixing and matching, but it's good to be back here with my buddy Whitey.
Nice. Can't wait for that. Jockpity is always appointment listening. All right, Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard. They're coming up next. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Thanks, man. We'll be back next week. It is 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.